Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Good morning, everyone. Get this thing fired up. Appreciate Tom's comments. His comments were actually a good introduction to the thoughts that I had this morning on what I was going to talk about.
Let my lesson fool you into what we are talking about this morning. As Tom mentioned, without Jesus' birth, we wouldn't have his death. And without his death, we wouldn't have a hope of heaven. And, you know, the last few weeks, there's been a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement for this day to get here. It's a special day. It's a special day for us because we get to be here to worship God. We get to be here to remember the death of his Son, our Savior. And that's what makes today special. And again, you know, it's a good thing to think for a minute or two about Jesus' birth. Because, like Tom said again, without his birth, there wouldn't be his death. But this morning, I want to look at a part of Jesus' life that we don't know much about. We don't really study much about. I mean, we study it, but I don't know that I've ever heard a lesson. I've definitely never brought a lesson on this. But we're going to look at Jesus' youth and some examples we can draw from the short passage in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. That's where our text will come from this morning. We talked about the Holy Spirit a lot lately, and what's given to us is all we need. That's all, you know, there's nothing missing in the Bible. Jesus' life from birth to death was prophesied. And if it was given to us, then it's something we should study and know a little bit about, right? I mean, I believe so. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. We're going to try to look at Jesus' life as a child and some lessons that we can draw from that. The text starts, like I said, in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through the end of the chapter. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in a group, they went a day's journey. Then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" I'm reading from the ESV, and other translations will say, "be about my Father's business." And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So this is Jesus' life as we know it up till 12 years old. 11 verses in this chapter of Luke. His parents, earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, were obedient parents. They seemed to raise him in an obedient household from what we can gather. They went to the Passover yearly, and at this particular year, he was 12 years old. in this writing of Luke. So in their travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem, they went there and they partook of the feast of the Passover, and then after the time that the feast was over, they left, and we read that Jesus did not go with them, and they didn't realize they weren't with them. So they probably didn't have the troubles that we have in today's world. We got to have our kids right beside us, especially when we're in a group. If you ever lost one of them, for any short time, you panic. And so they apparently weren't panicked. And then at night, they were gathering all their kids up, and he wasn't there. And then that's where the panic began. And he, you know, there's a group, probably thousands of people, because they all left at the same time. The feast ended at the same time the Passover feast did, so they all left together. So they went back to Jerusalem to look for him and found him, as verse 43, or verse 45, it talks about them going back, and they found him after 3 days, and he was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And it was probably an odd thing for them to see that, but his reaction to them was, why are you looking for me? I must be about my Father's business, or and the ESV says, in my Father's house. You know, they were regular parents. They were scared. They'd been, at this point, 4 days without their son. You know, some people think, or like to say, that Jesus was probably performing miracles from day one. And, you know, I just can't believe that, because if he would have been, then everybody would have known him, because look how the people reacted to him in his later on in life when he was performing miracles. Everybody wanted to see it. Everybody wanted to be a part of it. And if that were the case, if he had been performing miracles, then they wouldn't have said, what are you doing? I mean, they reacted as normal parents. They were worried. They were scared. They found him. And they kind of reprimanded him a little bit, saying, why are you doing this to us? And so, you know, it appears that Jesus came, his life was a life of a normal child up to this point. And this is the point where his life as a child changed to an adult. You know, in Jewish culture, 12 to 13 is that time where, you know, men become an adult. And so he started at this point on, we read of his miracles, of his ministry, of all these things that he did. And but loving his parents and respecting his parents, he was submissive to him, and he went back with him. And it ends this reading saying that verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. He left Jerusalem to go be back with his parents. And before we get to the lessons, we've got a few lessons to draw from this. A couple of things in this reading that are interesting. Luke is the only account that talks about this part of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, and John do not. So these were the earliest words of Jesus that are recorded for us in the Bible. And also his parents, Joseph and Mary. We don't hear much about Joseph, if any, after this. But Mary, we hear about her throughout Jesus' life, all the way up to the cross. Jesus mentions Mary. Just some interesting points to take from this short reading. And so we've got three, because I think that's the standard issued topics or bullets of a lesson. Three lessons that we can learn from Jesus. First, he was obedient. He respected his parents. He loved and obeyed them. Even though he was our Savior, he was the eventual Savior, he humbled himself to his earthly parents. I appreciate Levi reading Ephesians 6. That's a scripture we all know real well. I won't reread it, but we're commanded to honor our father and mother, to obey them. But there's all kinds of scripture throughout the Bible that tell us the same thing. Jesus is our Heavenly Father, our Creator, but he can still, you know, give us examples as to follow with our earthly parents. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And in Matthew, Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. We are to show honor to our parents. We are to love them. We are to respect them. We are to obey them, just as Jesus did. And it's just as we're commanded, and it's commanded on throughout the Bible. We have examples of this, of being obedient children. And this doesn't stop at childhood. We honor and obey our parents throughout our adulthood as well. Lesson number two we gained from Jesus' youth. He was obedient to God. He submitted himself to his parents, like I said before. But there's going to be times where we have to choose, you know, even with our parents sometimes, there might be a conflict of what our parents say and what God says. And we have to make that decision. But he was obedient to God. He was, at this point, he was interested in gaining knowledge. He was interested in sharing knowledge into growing, which we'll get to in just a minute. But throughout our life, we'll have these decisions that we have to make in work and government, and kids have to with friends and school and things that they do. But we must always choose God. And we can look at, we could be here all day looking at examples, but in John chapter 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. God is the end all be all. He's the one that we obey when there's other options. When the bracelet, what would Jesus do way back when, 15 years ago? You know, don't think of that. It's what do I do? Do I obey God or do I obey men? And the last lesson, Jesus was committed to spiritual growth. He stayed behind at the temple to grow. We read that in verse 52, that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. If the Son of God was willing to put effort and work into his spiritual growth, so should we. And we're going to read a couple of scriptures of examples of, or commandments to us to continue growing spiritually. Second Peter verse 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the end of eternity. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And again, back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. These are just three examples of spiritual growth, of commandments of spiritual growth. But we also have examples of those that are in the Bible that continue to grow and work to help others grow. You can look at Paul and all the letters to the different churches and throughout, and his visiting them or be able to send them letters while he was in prison. His efforts were to help them, aid them, to encourage them in their spiritual growth. And it's something that, like I said, if this is something Jesus, our Savior, was doing when he was a child at 12, it's something that we should also work towards. Because in anything in life, and if you are comfortable where you're at, you're stagnant and you're not growing. So, you know, it's the same thing with the Word of God, with our spiritual life. If we're comfortable where we're at, then we need to re-examine where we are. We need to work to continue to grow and please God in all things. Again, it's a short passage. It's meant to give us some perspective and understanding into Jesus's life as a child, thinking of other scriptures about you know, Jesus as our Savior in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We talk a lot about Jesus' humanity, you know, his emotions that he suffered. He was this goes all the way back to his birth. He was born just like every one of us to a father and mother here on earth. Now, getting to that point was miraculous, but it wasn't him that did the miracle. It was God. So his humanity started from the beginning, and he lived his life as a child, as a young adult, teaching and preaching and performing these miracles and suffering the things that he went through, the physical and the emotional sufferings and his death, just for us. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, it's good to think about Jesus' birth, but also think about all the other aspects of his life. You know, of him in the temple as a boy, all the ministering, in the garden, weeping, carrying his cross, being hung on the cross, dying, raising, being ascended, and sitting at the right hand with God. You know, Job's often says, take 5 minutes, think about heaven. Take 5 more minutes, think about Jesus, too. Because without Jesus, we're not getting to heaven. So it's a good thing for us to think about. But there's all other kinds of other lessons we can learn from Jesus. There's, you know, throughout his life, the love that he had, the compassion that he had, his obedience to God, his faithfulness to the end, his love for his mother, wanting her to be cared for all the way up to the end of his life, his forgiveness while he was on the cross. There's several lessons we can learn from Jesus. So I hope this morning, just thinking about him as a child and how, you know, he can teach us from an early age, and him being our Savior and learning these lessons from him as he lived on this earth and suffered the same things and went through the same temptations that we go through every day. I'll end you in this with one more scripture from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Put your faith in him. Obey him. Gain salvation through his blood. And you can have eternal life with heaven. If there's any that need to submit to the gospel this morning, if you would come as we stand and sing.